Plumbers become super plumbers, installing a super quick water dispenser. Superquick.com.au.
Welcome to Monday. You're going to find plenty in the catch-up. Some mixed results in the NRL. Moon repays an 18-year-old debt and highlights from Mardo's historical pub tour. But Robin Bailey sounds like Kathleen Turner today. A little bit of a chest infection.
You know, yes, I do. And hopefully my voice will stay with me. But that is the greatest segue ever to the Moon's Kathleen Turner story, which I've yet to hear.
So I'm telling the Kathleen Turner story.
Yes, right. At the end of the show today at 9 o'clock, you went to tell this on air. I vetoed it because I've heard the story before, so we're trialling it out on the podcast and we'll see if we can tell it.
All right. Mardo, Robin, a friend of mine, an actress that I went to drama school with, she decided to have a crack in LA. So she went over to LA, and while she was trying to get acting work, she got a job for a white gloves removal company. Now, White Gloves Removal Company goes into your mansion, takes Polaroids of all of your stuff, and then moves your house and puts everything back in the same position.
What if there's a renovation being done or something?
No, if you're moving house. Oh. If you're moving from one mansion to another in Hollywood Hills.
And then you set up your new bedroom in exactly the same manner.
Exactly the same way.
Oh, that's weird.
And so this friend of mine, Michelle, she was her job for the White Gloves Removal Company was to go into the woman's bedroom or wardrobe and remove all of her stuff. So she'd take Polaroids and put all the clothes back exactly the same and the bedside table. And she had to move Kathleen Turner. Mm-hmm. The company was moving Kathleen Turner, Jewel of the Nile, Romancing the Stone.
She's kind
Kathleen
of sexy Turner. In the day, hasn't she?
Was very sounds sexy. Like this.
So she's, sounds like that. I loved Kathleen Turner, still do.
Sounds like an old Daria.
So Michelle goes into her bedroom, taking Polaroids, opens the bedside drawer, takes Polaroids of what's in there, and then on her hands and knees, underneath the bed, is the biggest dildo she has ever seen.
Giant dildo.
But it is underneath the bed like it has just been discarded one night, and Kathleen's had enough of this, and it's covered in dust and as an elastic band stuck to it.
Spiderwebs.
An elastic band.
All sorts of, you know, stuff. So she picks it out with her and puts it in a box.
For transporting.
Kathleen's got this massive dildo that she's just been it under the bed.
We're all good.
Anyway, so she moves all the stuff into her new home, of course, but everything has to go back in its place. So she gets this dildo out of the box and just tosses it under the bed.
Like a halfback feeding a scrum. He goes, dildo.
Under the new bed.
Did she give it a clean?
Goes, no. It had to go back exactly how it was. Encrusted with cobwebs and dust.
No.
And that is why we all still have jobs, because I didn't let that go to air. Enjoy the catch-up.
So, like I said, you know, when you're staying in a hotel room, you know that somebody's been in there before, but you just don't want to discover evidence that there has been somebody else
in
there.
So, like, hair around the... No, but then the cleaners would come in and sort that out. So you just mean someone's left something.
No skitties.
No skitties. Oh, okay. So, I am in an apartment at the Alex Perry, and it's self-contained. There's a kitchen, and there's a little laundry attached to the bathroom behind, you know, louver doors.
Okay.
So, doing my washing on Saturday and put my washing in the dryer, then take my washing out of the dryer to fold it up, and folding through, and something keeps catching my eye. I think, what is that? And I pull a garment out of my pile of washing, and it's not mine. Somebody else has left a garment in the dryer.
Okay, what sort of garment?
It is a very large man's singlet. It is. It's
wow.
This singlet is a triple XL. Makes me feel good about my own body for the first time in a long time.
What colour? Just a white one?
No, not white. Oh. Off white. This singlet has seen some rodeos, my friend.
Oh, dear.
So when Mr. Bombarda had been reaching up to the dryer and had lost the will to live because he's probably broken into a sweat and he's heaving himself around the apartment, he'd left his singlet in there. And I've got to say, the fact that it... And it was, you know, he'd obviously washed it, but it had been in the dryer with my clothes.
What?
And the fact that it touched my stuff.
What?
Oh, I wanted
really?
to... wash everything again. Just somebody else's.
Wait, what do you think he's done in that singlet?
Well, that's the other thing. Was he using it as a singlet?
or using it to wash the car? Well, most of them use their singlets to wash the car.
Men can find lots of uses for singlets.
Okay, hang on. You found it in the dryer.
I found it in the dryer.
It's already been through the wash.
It has been washed, but it's got a history.
It just irked you.
So what
did that
you
just
do?
Irk you too much?
It irked me really badly.
Wow.
I even read the label where it was made. That didn't help.
So have you gone down to reception to find out who was in your room before you?
I have not. I don't want to know.
Well, you want to get the singlet back to him? Hello, mate. I see the Suns beat the Lions in a trial on the weekend, which reminded me of something. Mm. My daughter Hillary sent me that photo from Canada the other day. One of the blokes she's with has got a Gold Coast Suns shirt on.
Very rare.
Who would take a Gold Coast Suns shirt overseas?
Someone who doesn't mind they lose it.
All right.
There's something about the Gold Coast Suns that has started to scar me too. You made me do something.
Well, you took that photo. Well, after I saw that, you took that photo of that tattoo on my ass of the Gold Coast Suns.
You made me.
Yeah.
You said, take a photo of this. I said, I don't want to, Marto. And you said, you work for me now.
Well, it was either you or me.
You're my welcome, boy with the words.
Welcome to Brisbane, you said.
Hey, listen. All right. So I sent my daughter that, and I said, ask him if he's got a Gold Coast Suns tattoo on his ass. And she said, no, he hasn't, but he'd like to get one. Where did you get it done? And then I said, you know very well. This is where I remembered, okay? So I got a tattoo many years ago, first game, all right? And here's what Hilly says. Oh, Dad, I remember seeing your bum getting tattooed on the Channel 9 news before you even told us.
Right.
That's how you... I can remember them yelling, Dad, your bum's on the telly! The poor little kids who were 10 or 11 years of old.
It looks like a brand. Well, it looks like a
branding iron.
Yeah. Oh,
I think it is, all right. So she found out by watching the news that her father had a tattoo. Right? That's my daughter. And at Christmas time, one of our nephews, he'd had a thigh tattoo, okay? Of a stupid cartoon character somewhere. No, well, sat down. Normally he wore longer pants. He wore a shorter pair of boardies, crept up. That's how my sister found out. She said, what is that?
Oh, don't.
Oh, my God. Oh. On Christmas Day, a big fuss made at about 1 p.m., just as we were all sitting down, his shorts rode up a bit and he's done. First time his mum had seen his tat.
Oh, well, I saw your tats for the first time when you stripped off in front of us.
Shoulders.
But there's a weird green thing. What is that?
Well, one's the family standard or the emblem, which is a tree with a reptile in it.
The
Mooney family. The Mooney family standard, which is fortitude and prosperity. And the other one that's a blurry. It's kind of grown over with pimples and hair now. But anyway.
That's troubling that you've got a close up. What is that?
And then the other one is the liverbird from Liverpool. My parents are from Liverpool. So that's an ardent cormorant. So I'm not a Liverpool supporter. We're an Everton family, but they're the tats.
And that's how did you find out, Robin?
Well, we were doing a promo.
We were naked,
and you took a photo.
We were naked, just hanging out
to go to the loo. I said, "Oh, quick, no, absolutely not." We were doing a promo shot for when we first came together, and you took your shirt off, and
funny?
I went, "Oh, look at that!
I look pretty muscular from behind."
Yeah,
well, but when you turn around, you go, "Oh no."
A lot of back hair.
Do you know where Robin's got one?
No.
One day, you got one on your neck, haven't you?
Yeah, I've got a set of wings on my neck that I got after my husband Tiny died because I truly wanted at some point to be able to fly away. Mm. I keep waiting for them to manifest and they haven't.
No,
mine are tiny and they're just on the back of my neck. And also a little star that I got done actually on air with a girlfriend of mine who was dying of cancer. And so I remember
her. Gee, your
tats
are full of joy. Right.
Well, no, they're not. They're for me.
Did your girlfriend make it?
No, she didn't. But she got a tattoo and that was really cool. It was a really cool thing to do together. So, yeah, I have tats that are significant that are just for me.
Nice.
You have random things on your back I saw when you were naked.
Family traditions. My brothers and I all went and got tats at the same time just to, hang out.
I like that.
So we're all branded together.
Yeah, I'm just figuring at some stage I'm going to spot something on my son or daughter if they take their shirt off or something will happen, go, What's that? What is that?
Do you know what I did with my then 14-year-old who was desperate for a tattoo? Mm. I said, okay, mate, you draw a picture of what you want right now and you're not allowed to get one till you're 18 without my permission. And let's see at 18. I'm going to put this picture in the safe, which is what I've done. Yeah. Let's see if you still want it 4 years later.
Well, I've got my bloke. Harry. Hey, Harry's on his way to his first day as an apprentice. Hey, mate. Hope you're actually going to get there soon. he always wanted one on his foot, so I'm just waiting and waiting.
Waiting and waiting. Matty.
It's on the foot.
Of Wellington Point. What happened with the tattoo?
Yeah, when I was younger, I always wanted them, and I finally got them and sort of tried to hide the first couple from my parents.
Yeah.
But I ended up getting... I've got two sleeves on my back, my chest done, my legs. Like, I'm pretty much covered now. And I've worked out, I butted it up when I got the top of my hands done. I got their names tattooed in a love heart and a mechanic sort of thing for my dad. And they really liked it. So,
that's the way.
Butter them up is the easiest way.
That's where the first couple you said you were trying to hide, where did you have them?
I didn't do a real good job. I got my first one on my forearm, so they seen it pretty much straight away.
Yeah, living in Brizzy, it's a bit hard.
I got thongs tattooed on my feet now, so they love them. They reckon that's a good bit of a joke.
Matty!
Oh, my God, Matty, I want to see those. Can you send them to us? Are there any you regret?
No. Well, I got the 4X man tattooed on my shin and the thongs on.
Matty, can you send both of those through?
We'd love
speak
to see
our producer,
them.
Jack. He'll tell you how to send it through. I want to see those tats on your foot, your thongs.
Yeah, no worries.
Thanks, Matty.
Has the 4X man got a name? Is that little bloke with the flat?
No, just Mr. 4X.
Just Mr. 4X.
Mr. 4X. And it was apparently, you know, big head, little body, but the original Mr. Fitzgerald, I think, was the original owner, Paddy Fitzgerald, I think, and it's supposed to be him.
Just talking about it, give me a taste.
You got a problem, mate. It's Monday.
Let's go to Mark from New Farm.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Yeah, what happened? So you had a tat, and mum or dad find out?
Yeah, no, my mum did. I was living in America and I got one on the top of my arm and we went swimming and I thought, well, I can't take my shirt off, so I'll just go in with my shirt on because I'm fair-skinned. And it was a white shirt and, of course, not realising that it was going to end up being like a wet T-shirt contest gone wrong. And I got out of the pool and as I walked past my mum, she's like, grabbed me. She's going, what is that? And I said, what's what? And she goes, what's that? And you could see it through the white T-shirt. She goes, get upstairs now, put a dry shirt on, and don't let your father see it because he'll absolutely go ropeable on you because my old man really hated tattoos.
Oh, God, yeah.
So she saved me from that one, but I ended up owning a tattoo parlor in Los Angeles, and I've actually got a couple done that we did for a movie, and they were going to use it on a billboard, and then when they found out that it was on my backside, The liberal police turned around and went, no way, not being used on a billboard in public if it's on his bum.
Can we?
The worst part about it is the movie's called True Romance, so I've got True Romance written on my bum.
True Romance? Oh. That was a big movie.
Yeah, well, the director was a good friend of mine.
Okay. Wow, that's great trivia.
That's an unreal one. What was the one on your shoulder that your mum got up
Christian Slater, before? True Romance?
What was a tat on your shoulder?
Yeah, the tat on my shoulder was actually the head of a snow leopard, and then Mickey Rourke got one. So I turned around and got that changed to a black heart with a reverse spear and then an angel carrying a Tommy gun.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Everyone's so random. Oh, thanks, Mark.
And Sue of Cooperoo, your son went to Thailand. Hi. That can never end well. What happened?
My last words to he and his group of rugby mates were, don't get a tattoo in Thailand. And when they came back, there was no mention of a tattoo, and I was over at his mate's place visiting his mum, and his friend came out of the shower and his towel fell down, and here on his hip was this tattoo of Harold the giraffe from the Life Education Van. I went, oh, my God, get back here. I said, what is that? Because I knew if one had one, they would all have one. So I went home and I said to my son, Hallie, I said, have you got something to tell me? And he looked at me and he said, bloody Wilson. And he had a frog doing a handstand on a skateboard wearing a sombrero on his hip. And the funniest thing, well, it's funny, but he actually passed away playing rugby, and he has a memorial ball every year. And at the ball, they have this tattoo up on the wall every year, and there's about 30 of his mates who got this hideous frog skating on a doing handstands on a skateboard in his honour. So there's all these Disgusting tattoos around in his memorial.
Oh, that's a great story.
Hell of a way to be remembered. Brisbane's Triple M, The Big Breakfast.
The Big Breakfast. Sports all in.
Hey, can we kick off with a bit of Reds? First time they've won back-to-back games in Super Rugby for 4 years.
Oh, my Lord.
I know, they're going all right. This Brad Thorne, he's made them so bloody tough. Remember the boat we spoke to on Friday, Jono Lance? The 5'8".
A good young side. Great lineup, haven't they?
So yeah, oh mate. Well, that's what they got. Young kids. That Jono Lance played really well at 5'8". So he's the bloke who is replaced. They're keeping Quade Cooper out of it. Okay,
oh, wow.
So he's not playing.
Well, they don't need him, obviously.
And he's going really well. And I saw in an article yesterday he has credited me with his ability to take on the defence because I said it in commentary. And I didn't realise players watch the games with the noise up. He said, I heard Marto say I've got to take on the defence, and I've started to do it.
Well, he must respect you as a former player.
Well, that doesn't happen very often.
Have you ever thrown your hat in the ring to coach?
You don't. Wouldn't want to, mate.
Wouldn't want to?
Horrible job.
Would you really want Marto coaching?
What is the worst thing about coaching?
I love coaching kids, but coaching adults. Worst thing is people yelling at you a lot.
Isn't it your complete lack of control? You tell the guys what to do,
and then once
they're out there, they're just making up their own minds.
Where is this Brad Thorne team? Let's go back to rugby league.
How weird. So many teams that should have won didn't.
Only two favourites won, Storm and Cowboys.
Before the season opener, all the Triple M commentators were sat down and asked who they thought were going to win the wooden spoon this year, and everybody said either the Titans or the Warriors. Both teams won on the weekend.
Yeah.
I did not think the Titans were going to win. I thought the Raiders looked so good early.
They're up 18-0.
It was a record comeback, wasn't it?
Mm. There were comebacks all over the place. I watched yesterday afternoon. Penny Panthers were down 14-0. They came back without another point being scored against them.
Couldn't be happier.
It's very exciting. Yeah. First 35 minutes, not so much.
Were you a bit worried for Anthony Griffin there for a while?
Big time, but yeah, great comeback.
But of course, it's been a huge weekend of footy, but everyone's talking about one incident and one incident only.
Are they?
The grip.
The squirrel
Karen
grip.
Karen Proctor has gone for the crown jewels.
Jordan Rapana.
Okay, which team are we talking about?
All right, Raiders Titans. And the thing is, people start talking about it when you get up today because not a lot of people saw that game because it was on after 6:37. Had happened late. It was a late ball
grab. It was the last game of the round.
Yeah.
Okay. And someone squeezed someone else's
testicles.
Why?
Like a dog.
Because you can.
Oh. Did he get pulled over for it? Did he get pulled up for it?
Well, he got severely reprimanded by the player who'd received the squirrel
by
grip.
He'll
get in trouble. What are they saying? Something like $1,100 or $1,200
fine. $1,100 per testicle, so pretty steep.
Should Roosters fans be worried? They spent $40 million on players and lost to the Tigers.
Jeez, Tedesco looked crap. I don't like Tedesco for some reason. Are you
lost to the Warriors.
Who?
They lost to the Warriors.
No, they didn't. They lost to the Tigers, mate. The Warriors won against South.
Oh, sorry.
You come in here swinging your proverbial, thinking you know things.
And how did Jared Hayne go? Didn't he? Because he was
debuting. I saw him do one thing. Well, it was a pass, so that's fairly basic skill in 80 minutes. He did nothing, did he? Did you watch it at all? 38,000 people in Perth on Saturday night. Watch rugby league.
Okay, that didn't make sense to me either. Why would you do round one in Perth?
I don't know. Well, they must have promised them. There might be a bit of money.
Trying to spread the game nationally, and it's worked. I mean, 38,000 people. Perth people will go and see this.
Perth have lost their rugby union team. So what have you got? We got over there with people who like body contact sports, not AFL, as in tackling sports. They haven't got anyone to watch, so they all went along to the league. It's amazing.
It was so funny, though, watching on Fox Sport and then also to Channel 9, they kept going back to the wide shot because it was still daylight.
The stadium.
And it was just is that the greatest thing you've got to offer?
No, but it's the new stadium that changes colour.
It is a beautiful stadium.
Isn't it a beautiful stadium?
Okay, you're done with sports, Olin?
That'll do.
Now, Saturday was a big day for us because we went on a pub crawl, but then you guys came and saw my show at the Powerhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And afterwards, we were hanging out with Limo, who was joined us on the show on Friday.
He's got
a show at the Comedy Festival too. And I'm not a smoker. In fact, smokers or doctors will say I'm the most dangerous kind of smoker because I don't commit to smoking. In my head, I'm not a smoker, but I still occasionally have a dart with a drink.
Mm.
I'm a nighttime kind of guy. I can do two a week. And so I very rarely buy cigarettes. And Limo loves a dart, and so when I'm with him, I'm always botting smokes off him.
Yeah.
Always. And it came down to his packet had two in it on Saturday night. He took one and I said, can I have a smoke? He goes, yeah, all right, mate. Have the last one. So I took it.
That's
and
sacred.
Then somebody else was in our group demanding a drag of a cigarette from that cigarette. And I was saying, no, I want to enjoy this cigarette. And they were going, no, share it with me. You bought it off him.
Gee, comedy guys are an impressive bunch.
Isn't it? So this cigarette had to go around. And the next morning I was reflecting on that and I thought, I have known Limo since 1999.
Wow.
And I have been out with him many times.
I know what you're going to say.
And I have been botting smokes off him for 18 years.
Wow.
And so I was meeting him for breakfast yesterday and I thought, it's time, mate. It's time to buy this brother.
You bought a packet of cigarettes.
So I bought him two packets of cigarettes yesterday.
Do you know how expensive they're? $30
I know. I bought him $60 worth of smokes yesterday.
But
I put them down. He goes, what's that for? I said, because, my friend, you have never refused me a dart. And I think over the years that this would just be the tip of the iceberg, really. So I repaid a debt 18 years
really
in the making.
Nice.
Because I think that, you know, if the smokers are taken advantage of a lot, when people decide to have the odd cigarette, they just go, do you mind if I have one? They are funding
a lot of
people.
Don't remember that they smoke.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
And also, you haven't given up smoking, you've just given up buying smokes, mate. That's what you've done.
But having a debt repaid that you're not expecting is even better. Because I think in people's minds they go, whether it's cigarettes or if it's money, after a certain point you've just got to write it off.
Yeah.
And go, okay, well, that's just something that I'm going to give to that human with love and light, and off you go.
Mm.
So the fact that you then repaid it and he wasn't anticipating it is even better.
Yeah.
And good karma for you.
When you buy somebody two packets of cigarettes, though, there's some horrific pictures on the front. You think, am I doing the right thing here?
You're killing
There's
it.
A fat, rotten foot and some bad teeth.
I'll make an observation. I went to the shops yesterday because Kath doesn't like going on weekends, Rob, because she's there every day working.
Yeah, no, fair enough. I'm with her.
You're out there, and it was a big one. I went down every aisle. I've never done that before in my whole life.
Ooh, full trolley.
Cleaning stuff. Nappies and dog aisle, everything.
So is this like
did you buy a soft
monthly?
Drink?
Hey?
Did you buy a soft drink?
Yeah.
Because there's an aisle just full of soft drink.
Yeah, I've got some. Because I had to get a heap of stuff for Harry to start his first day.
You're such a nutter. Why would you go on a Sunday?
Well, I didn't know it was a bad day to go. And Kath, no wonder she was sniggering. She said, do you want me to come? I said, no, you go all the time.
A lot
You're
of service
there.
Staff have their only day off on a Sunday and they just hit the supermarket hard and low.
All right.
And you deserve to. If you don't do supermarket shopping enough to know that Sunday's a dodgy day, you deserve everything you got.
I didn't know.
Didn't you when you
no
went
car
into
the park. It's hard to get a car park.
Yeah, when you went into the car park, I was going to say, didn't that ring a bell? It's like, wow, this is
well,
crowded.
There's movie theatres at our car park, at our place at Newmarket now. So anyway,
Christ.
The big thing I observed was kids under the age of 10 should not be pushing trolleys around. I got clipped four times yesterday. Look, who does that? Who lets a kid in control of a trolley down the aisle?
You forget what it's like to be a parent of a toddler. Okay, if Maggie wants to push the trolley, yes, let her push the trolley because it's not worth the screaming. It's not worth the screaming and also if you've got boys particularly, they run amok pulling stuff off the shelves.
And
you would remember, Robin.
It's not just that. It's the fact that if they're holding both hands on the trolley and they're responsible for it, they're not grabbing things that you're not realising are making it into the trolley.
I don't give a stuff. I got hit four times yesterday. We need to lock those little buggers up out the front near where the trolley, where you collect your trolley to go into the shopping centre. Have a little jail there. Parents would love that. They get to do their stuff, just park them in there.
What a crash.
Well, that's what
that
essentially
thing.
What those ball tubs are at IKEA and those places.
Yeah, lock them in there.
Their little jails just full of germs and horrible viruses.
Well,
but I've got a little strategy I use when I see kids arcing up and their mum's like, Jared, don't do that. Jared, don't do that.
Oh, God, I saw a lot of that yesterday, grabbing things. And I forget, you got to go, no, put that back.
The stranger's voice has so much power. I go, Jared. It's like, Jared's all like, how does he know my name? How does he know my name? I say, Jared, and it's like staring at you. Are you being a help to your mum today? And boom, Jared's next to his stranger danger.
Oh, yeah.
This bloke's talking to me. Jared is, and the mother's always so grateful. She's like, thanks, mate.
That's
so just go around the supermarket and use a kid by his name. Darren. Oh my God. All of a sudden, the alternative is very attractive.
All right, no jail.
Big breakfast. Just be weird.
Okay, guys, you know how I was telling you last week that when my partner Sean comes and stays with us, it's been really advantageous because he watches sport all the time.
Yeah.
And he has it on the TV. And I learn stuff, which is great for my Triple M knowledge, but it also brings my children out of their bedrooms and they come and watch. So over the weekend, I was seeing lots of rugby league on the telly. I was seeing a bit of cricket. But I started to feel really sorry because I was watching the Cowboys. Well, I was kind of half watching.
You were half watching the Cowboys because you texted me halfway through the game. You said, are you watching this?
It's so boring.
Because I'm bored.
That was pretty much where it was at. I tried to jump in a mining.
Anyway,
the one thing I was really sad about was that poor fella from Cronulla who got hit in the head, and I think he's broken his jaw. Who's that?
Who, the centre? Was it a centre?
Oh,
yeah, Sione, someone or other.
Hang on, let me Google.
No one knew him.
Anyway, yeah.
Sorry about him.
So you're feeling for him because he broke his jaw or because it's the beginning of the season?
It's the first game of the season. And then I was hearing this morning as I was driving in that there was a Geelong guy.
Yeah, Dangerfield.
Patrick Dangerfield.
He looks like he's done his hammy. And that this
he's
season hasn't even
game.
Started.
Mm, absolutely.
Best player in the game. There was another one. One
Very
of the
unlucky
sons
not
yesterday.
To win the Brownlow. Last, you don't care about the Brownlow.
No,
nobody does in this town.
There was one of the Gold Coast Suns players. They were only playing a trial down the Gold Coast yesterday. Yeah. Now, where it was, he slid trying to stop a goal being scored. So if you touch it, it's only a point. And kept sliding into the advertising hoarding. Shoulder.
Oh,
dislocated
sad.
Shoulder. All right, here's another one.
Who?
The girl who carried the flag for the Winter Paralympians.
Yeah.
All right, did a knee straight after that. Did a knee, she's out of the
now,
game.
She
did a knee
in
a training exercise.
She's the one that if you were watching the other Olympics, the able-bodied, they featured her a lot. She's the South African who lost half a leg in a tractor.
In the tractor. She's the tractor girl, Joni Barden-Horse.
There you go.
Before her event even started, she went and did a training run, snowboarding, and did a knee.
Tractor girl. Is that...
Well, she lost a leg in a tractor. Well, Robin and I know her as the tractor
girl
because we both saw her. She's really good looking.
Tractors are dangerous, aren't they?
They are bloody dangerous. They'd be more dangerous if they were on a footy field. There'd be more injuries if there was a tractor just in the middle of the footy field.
Thank God there isn't.
Throw it in there.
But it just made me wonder about, you know, those first days of work or the first time you're doing something or, you know, in the case of the Olympians, you've been spending 4 years leading up to a moment and then you
just
get...
Can't even compete.
No, you get thwarted at the last moment, like you break your arm before
it's
a ski
disappointing,
trip.
But it's real and it happens all the time.
But it's also that in anticipation of a big event where, you know, you're a couple of days from going overseas or starting a new job or that moment of the big game and you start to second guess and that's when trouble starts, when you're trying to protect yourself or not get injured.
But there's only a split second in between doing your jaw, not doing your jaw, doing your hamstring, not doing your hamstring, doing your knee. It's just these
just
little
unlucky.
Moments.
There must be stories about Bucks nights where you've injured the groom before the wedding.
Oh, yes.
When he's had to pull out of the wedding.
No.
We've deliberately
just the
injured
photos
him.
Look
no,
well
no.
bad.
They look really bad.
All right. First time, my whole aim of my life when I was young was to play for Australia before I was 21. When I was 20, I got picked for the Wallabies, okay? The tour was leaving on the Monday, two test tour. This is 1984. We won the Grand Slam tour, one of the greatest Wallaby teams ever. I was the only fullback picked. Did my knee on the Sunday, playing Queensland, played ACT. We won 86-0, first tackle of the match, did my knee. Took me 3 years to get back in the Australian team.
Oh.
I was 20 years of age, Robin.
Oh, that's giving me goosebumps.
It was horrible. No one remembers that because I was just some young bloke who got carted off the field and you didn't see me again.
And back in those days, they didn't actually have surgeons. They used to get a butcher and a cop to kind of operate on your knee, didn't they?
No, there were surgeons.
Did you watch it? Did you watch it on the telly? Or
never
you just
never
so
wanted to see it, never saw it again. Sat in the dressing room, my dad crying. As a 20-year-old, I was just about to turn 21. I was going to make my life's ambition. That was what to play for Australia before I was 21.
Oh,
I get sad about it now.
Did your dad
That's why I'm really tough. That period toughened me up.
That's why you're very angry.
Yes.
He was
did
just pointing
you
at me
stop
a
crying
lot.
And,
yeah, stop crying. Let's
stop
get out
crying.
Of here.
Matt, I don't want to be disappointed in
it
you.
It does still upset you, though, doesn't it?
A lot.
Okay, enough.
Do you get a little bit Morgan Freeman and want to go back and talk to that 20-year-old boy?
There Matt it is. From Caboolture. Yeah.
Matt, talk to us. What happened in Dubai?
Good morning. So last year went to Dubai for the Indoor Cricket World Cup, playing with a lot of good mates of mine.
Wow.
Yeah, and basically my best mate and the captain of our Australian under-21s team, first ball he bowled of the whole tournament, month of preparation and lead-up, first ball he bowled, grade 3 tear in his ankle. He was out for 4 months.
Oh, that's wicked.
In Dubai.
And so when he went down, did he try and do, you know, what dogs do? Did he try and stand up and pretend that it hadn't happened?
He did try, but he went back down straight away.
Oh, how did we go? I never saw how he went in the World Indoor Cricket Comp.
All four grades took out the their respective World Cup.
Are we the best? Oh, good on us.
Yeah, but without the best the mate captain. Whose ankle was rolled.
Sorry, I hope he'll be better.
Ben of Astley, what happened with your ACL?
Basically, I've been coaching for 10 years and then got talked into playing over 35s soccer. Had never played before. Made it about 6 weeks into the pre-season, had a friendly match and did my ACL. So the career was over before I even got one game in.
Oh, dear.
Oh, babe.
Really, it wasn't Australia like me, was it? Yeah, like mine was.
It's all right, Bardo. You're more important than Ben.
Ben, I'm kidding, mate. No, I'm kidding.
Stop that.
I know you're disappointed.
No, it's good. No, judge your grief against theirs. It's good.
Did you sit? Oh, he's gone. I just want to know, did he sit with his dad crying in the dressing room? No.
But I would say there is something to be said, and I say this as the wife of someone who used to do it. Masters anything is really not a good idea.
Masters AFL. I've never seen so many of my mates break legs in that game.
Man.
They're just not up to
not
it.
Good.
You're chalky, boys.
Daniel of Logan, what happened to you? Daniel?
Hey, yeah. G'day.
G'day, Daniel.
My brain's a bit messed up from my injury. My first trial game, I copped a knee to the face and had to get facial reconstruction surgery this year.
This year? Oh. So you've got broken bones now?
Yeah, well, it's still healing. I can't feel my face mostly, but I've got to go back Wednesday.
How's the soup going?
Oh, mate, it's hard learning to eat again, that's for sure.
So when you say facial reconstruction, what part of your face got caved in? Was it cheekbone or nose?
Cheekbone and top and bottom of my right eye socket, and there's a bone lodged in my jaw.
Oh, Dan.
Daniel, how much did that cost you?
Well, it didn't cost me a cent, but it cost me my season.
Oh, my God.
What about work?
What sport again?
Yeah. What year?
Work. I was out of work for 2 weeks.
That's it?
And, I'm going through the NRL insurance now to see.
Oh,
okay.
What sport was it? Was it rugby league?
Yeah, rugby league opens.
God, blimey.
We feel for you, Daniel. You sound like you're still in a bit of bother there, brother.
Yeah, still. I'm back to work today, so we'll see how we go.
Oh, nice. Did they put your face back together? Is it all pretty?
Kinda.
Okay, good.
About 3 mil off what it used to be, but yeah.
Just grow a beard, no one will know.
Yeah, I've got that growing, don't worry about
good
that.
One.
It was his eye sock.
A few face tats.
Brisbane's Triple M Big Breakfast. Trevor Long.
It's that time of the week where our tech guru Trevor Long joins us. It's everything for the man, EFTM.com.
Trevor. Good morning to you. 75 inches is the new normal.
Whoa.
Yeah. How good is it? Size doesn't matter. I kept telling people, but now I'm telling people big is good. Yeah, I was in New York last week.
Width.
It's making me feel inadequate. Why is 75 inches the new normal?
Well, Samsung, I was in New York with Samsung last week when they announced their new 2018 TV range, and they are adamant that Aussies are walking into Harvey Norman and JB Hi-Fi looking for basically the biggest TV they can get. 65 inches is absolutely the norm today, and they reckon it's going to get bigger. So there are four 75-inch TVs coming from Samsung this year, not only at their premium range, but also in their, I'm not going to call it entry level because it's still going to be expensive. We don't have pricing yet, but just their basic 4K TVs will also become in 75 inches. Can you imagine that on your lounge room?
Aren't these things going to look a little bit ostentatious on the wall? I mean, you know, how does it blend in?
Here's the thing, right? Instead of having a big black box on the wall, and this is almost insane, Samsung have created a thing called ambient mode. Now, just for example, let's say you had a brick wall. What happens with this ambient mode is you use your smartphone to take a photo of the wall.
Don't.
And it emulates the background and puts it inside the screen when it's off. So instead of turning the TV off, you put it in ambient mode and it looks like the brick wall behind it. And then you put maybe the weather or the news on top of it.
Who told Samsung that's what we needed? Like who suggested this was a good idea?
I think they've got a lot of research saying that, you know what, people don't like the big black box. You're basically wasting 75 inches diagonally of space on your wall. And they've also had a lot of success in the last 12 months with what they call the frame, which is this TV that shows artwork.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that. It's very popular. Yeah, it's going
well.
So I
think people are realising that the black screen on the wall when you're not watching television is wasted space.
How much and when do they get to Australia?
They'll be with us end of April. We don't have prices yet, but, yeah, you're going to be saving your coins here. Last year you were talking 10 grand for their biggest and best. I can't imagine it won't be the same. But I suspect their cheapest 75-inch could come in less than 4 grand because they need to compete with some of the cheaper brands out there. Imagine a 75-inch TV for 4 or 5
That's
grand.
That's amazing.
It's crazy.
Okay, can I talk about screens? Because every night I have this fight with my teenage boys about putting their phones down. But if you are actually on a screen, like, isn't the research now saying that an hour before you go to sleep, it's going to impact your sleep?
100%. It's not just, you know, uni lectures or something. We're talking the phone companies now are building in software to account for this. So if they're on an Apple device, what you want to do is make sure they're using night mode. So it's a little, moon. It looks like a moon on the screen in the settings. If you enable night mode, it actually takes out all the blue light from the screen.
Oh.
I was looking at my Android phone the other day. It's got a blue light filter, just a button on it you push. And it makes the screen look a bit weird if you look at it right now. But at nighttime, it still looks fine. It's easy to read. But it takes the blue light is what's bad for your eyes.
Right.
The blue light is what's keeping you awake. And it's having an impact on people's sleep. So if you can't convince them to put the phones away or the screens away well before bedtime, which, let's be honest, is what they should be doing, then the blue light filter is an absolute must to help them sleep.
So how long before you decide to shut your eyes and go to sleep should you be cutting out blue light from your life?
At least an hour or two. Basically, if it's nighttime, put the blue light filter on because it's having an impact on you before you go to bed.
Is it stimulating something in your brain? Is that what the blue light does?
It's something to do with what it does to your brain to make you more alert. It's basically pushing. It's making your brain more active, and that's the last thing you need when you're just about to go to bed.
Fair call. I'm going to actually take this off and replay it to my children tonight. Thank you very much.
Boys, think yourself lucky that you got your screens at night and they're not being confiscated. Okay?
There you go.
You're thinking that they don't listen to you. They might listen to Trev.
Well, exactly right. Listen to me, but they will
if
listen to
that works,
to
can
Trev.
I get you to talk to my wife?
This is parent swapping.
EFTM.com for more of Trev's work. Trevor Long, our tech guru. Thanks, brother.
Cheers, team.
At the weekend, all the news, well, a lot of the news was about the floods up north and mainly centred on Ingham. Who's the most famous person that you know to come out of Ingham?
The Chook.
What's the Chook? Ingham's Chickens. Oh, no, that's just their family name.
Sport.
Melbourne Storm. Injured on the weekend. Oh, geez, I give up. Let's get into it.
Billy Slater.
See you later, Billy Slater.
I knew that.
Right, wake up, Australia.
Go back to the chalk.
All right. Hold on. My favourite thing is when they do show, and the floods are receding now, everything seems to be okay. They saved all those school children from their camp. And
a lot of great rain out west too, breaking the floods.
So
it's one thing or the other, isn't it?
But they're so cool. Flood. I love North Queensland people. Sometimes I forget to put their teeth in before they get on telly, but that's right. Channel 9 had a few interviews, and they're so relaxed about it all.
I was into water over my waist, about this high, trying to save things.
We'll just chuck a fishing line out the door and catch some fish.
That's your only option for food?
Really, I guess so, yeah.
Couldn't get to the shop, so we're just fishing off the front stairs. Anything?
When you say they forget to put their teeth in, there is a presumption that they've got teeth.
Yes, all right. Well, then Channel 9 showed the real star of the operation just outside of Ingham. I've just checked him out on the internet. He owns this roadhouse. It's Andy's Roadhouse, and it's just above the level of the floods. It's where, if you're going through now, Ingham, if anyone doesn't know, is about 160 km probably north of Townsville. So you drive up, if you're going Townsville to Cairns, you drive up and you go, oh, can't go any further.
Andy's.
So you pull in at Andy's. Here's Andy. I'd like you to introduce you all to Andy. What are you up to, mate?
You're on hand and camera.
Bacon's the best meal in town.
Floods are beautiful. I mean, they're good for the cane and they're good to wash the creeks out, but they're good for Andy's Roadhouse. Because what happened? They all turn up here. And we just keep cooking burgers.
Oh, this is it, mate. Hey, this is the last stop when it floods. I catch up and see where the waters go up and down.
Oh, well, good
this
on you,
Andy. This is the last off, eh? So have we figured out why people from FNQ say A a lot at the
say
end of
a
sentences?
Lot?
At the end
no
of a sentence,
idea.
It goes up A.
I do have a declaration,
Brendo, you know,
mate.
No idea.
What? Is Billy Slater from Innisfail? Mates just sent me a text. Stuff this up.
Okay.
Anyway, let's get back to Andy because Andy had a bit of trouble on Friday night.
Actually, Friday night, yeah, we went through quite a few bottles of Jim Beam. We run out of Coke, we run out of Jim Beam, we've run out of everything we had in beer. But it was fantastic. And every year we have a flood party. We never miss. So if anybody's out there, come to Andy's Roadhouse.
Sounds like it goes off at Andy's Roadhouse. A bottle of Jim Beam.
Not just one. It was a Jim Beam, was it? As in Mr. So what else happens, Andy?
We actually look forward to floods because it's probably our busiest time. And then we make a bit of money. It is fantastic. And the people are fantastic. Nothing gets stolen.
He's having a good old time.
He's having a great time.
He's a genuinely happy man. You can feel the joy.
He can just hear the money coming in when that starts flooding. Have you got Billy Slater yet? Have I stuffed it?
Yes, you have.
Yeah, he's from Innisfail.
Yeah.
Low point in the morning.
Good on you, Andy.
Is there anyone
forever.
Funny from Ingham?
I'm just saying who's famous.
We're
going to
find someone
Ingham.
Famous from Ingham.
Big breakfast. You had a go. You had a go. Good
Sorry.
On you.
You had a crack, mate.
Plumbers become super plumbers, installing a super quick water dispenser. Superquick.com.au.